My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The following is a high-five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is changing. If you're not aware, the world's changing. If you're not aware, you must be sleeping, because obviously the world we're going into is not the same as the world that we're leaving behind. And I like to look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology to make sense, to make context of what's going on, but of course, more importantly, to understand what we should be doing to stay ahead of this, to survive and thrive this. And of course, technology is the thing that changes the world, changes the way that we organize. And that technology that I like to focus on right now is the decentralized technology of Bitcoin. Now, I like to bring to you some new education to help you think through things differently, to understand things differently, hopefully more critically of the information that we get, some of the latest breaking news headlines so you know what's going on, and of course, some interesting guests so you don't have to listen to my opinion all the time. And that's what I have for you today. I am in the studio with Nick Tartaglia. He is the host of a podcast called New Gen Mindset Pod. You should check it out. But Nick, thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Nick, you were explaining to me that your podcast, New Generational Mindset, focuses on two things, wealth and sovereignty. And I want to break those down. I like to use the word sovereignty a lot. I use financial sovereignty a lot because I think it's pretty self-descriptive, but a lot of people maybe don't understand what it is. So let's break that down first if we can. So what does sovereignty mean?
So if I look at it from my standpoint, or I go back to the traditional meaning from the classical liberalism period of time, sovereignty for me is a natural perspective that I am responsible entirely for my own pursuits and my own outcome in life. I wish not to delegate that task to any state or other individual. I want to be responsible for the way I end my life in this world. So I need to build wealth, I need to build relationships and networks in order to ensure that my sovereignty is protected and sustained in this world. And that's how I see it. It's from an individual standpoint. It doesn't require the collective, although the collective can help maintain its individual sovereignty, but sovereignty is an individual pursuit. And what actions can I put forth in order to ensure that I do not need to delegate my responsibility or for my life to anybody else?
Do you think that's a spectrum? Like, to be truly sovereign, does that mean then you have to make your own clothes?
So yes, I know exactly what you mean now. So when I take the meaning of sovereignty, I take it more from a standpoint that I am willing to do what I need to do for myself, but I'm willing to delegate certain tasks that others can do more optimally than me. But where I do not believe that is the case is in terms of my finances and my wealth. that is something that I will not delegate nor wish to delegate, because to control my wealth or my finances is to control my abilities to eat, my ability to save, to retire, to go anywhere I want, or to buy any asset class I wish. So I, in terms of everything else, of course, I'm dependent on others in a collective because it requires me to delegate certain responsibilities or certain tasks in order to optimize my own pursuits. But specifically in terms of finances and wealth, that is something that is in, that is not somebody else's responsibility.
So when you talk about delegating things like making clothes or growing food or something like that, like it's okay to designate that or delegate that out to somebody else because they're not controlling me through that.
Exactly.
If I want to buy clothes from this person, that person has no control over me because I'll just go to someone else to buy the clothes.
You still have options and you still have optionality. And worst case, you hire someone to make it, you go somewhere else, you go online, you shop elsewhere. There are options. But the more you remove those options, the more self-reliant you become. So yeah, control would be a huge component. Those are things that you cannot truly control my sovereignty through those things.
So then you're basically wanting to, sovereignty would be, I like to think of actually one of my favorite authors, F.A. Hayek, his seminal book he wrote, which is The Constitution of Liberty. And in that book, he defined liberty as freedom from coercion. Freedom from coercion. That would be liberty. I like that definition. So freedom from any constraint that would hold me back from being able to choose the direction that I want to move my life.
As long as I don't pee on somebody else's life, let me live the life that I can to the best and the fullest I can.
And you think controlling your money is the best way to do that?
It's one of, you know, my relationship with my money determines that the way I can plan for my future, the type of assets I can purchase, the people I can, how I can take care of my family and friends around me. And so, you know, to delegate that responsibility is simply saying that, well, others now have control over your life and your future, because if they lose it, if they mismanage it, if they misallocate it, if they waste it, well, you are dependent on that, on those dynamics. So if you're going to create sovereignty as an individual, if you want to become more financially responsible for yourself, you know, it requires a level of growth in order to understand the world you're in order to make sure you allocate your capital properly and that you mitigate your risks by understanding the macro world in which you operate.
From an American to a Canadian here, you're
exactly.
Canadian, right?
Born and raised in Montreal.
So from a Canadian to an American here, obviously, the entire world was massively impacted by the pandemic, massively. And, you know, many parts of the world might have been more free during that period of time than the United States, which is supposedly the land of the free. However, Canada seemed to try to be on par with North Korea.
Pretty much.
We have, you know, your prime dictator, Justin Trudeau, on video. I've used clips of him praising China and praising their communism because it allows them to do things he's not able to do. We obviously saw him taking actions that were basically on par with China. So how does it work trying to remain a sovereign individual under some sort of like a regime or a political environment like that?
So personally for me, as it goes, like during the pandemic and that whole period of time, you know, we were locked down. We couldn't go out after a period of time. We couldn't go out after 8 p.m. We couldn't see people. A lot of it was just, you know, being locked up and just indulging the internet and online. So for me, the biggest way to kind of maintain my sovereignty or to strengthen it was to kind of focus on my intellectual development. So podcasting was a huge thing because on a weekly basis, I got to have incredible conversations with people around the world. I got to watch and observe market forces at a level I'd never seen before because, again, we spent hours just watching the world move and clash and behave. And I got to start writing a lot more, and that heavily helped me develop my ability to articulate and observe things at a deeper level that I didn't before. So it was it's more about currently an intellectual developmental process because of the fact that it, you know, you have inflation rampaging here. There's not many ways to protect your wealth. Taxes are growing up here. So if I can still focus on building my intellect and building relationships externally of this environment, I can still find a way to maintain or protect my sovereignty down the line. And in the process, of course, is still making sure I allocate to an extent certain capital, you know, certain play asset classes that can help me get out of the situation, whether I leave or stay. Although granted, I'd rather leave this country, but so these are type of things that I'm starting to focus on, you know, making sure which asset classes I'm going to focus on, my writing and my intellectual development. And those things help me feel more secure in my sovereignty.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show. We're sitting down with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about wealth. We're talking about sovereignty. And we're going to get some ideas of what you can do to increase both of those things. You know, I want to come back to the point about wealth and money specifically, because without wealth and money, you're constrained by your circumstances. So you're not constrained by people, but you're constrained by your circumstances. And so that's a different type of tyranny that most people don't consider. So we'll come back to that. If you're just tuning in, like I said, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show, talking with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about, of course, each and every week, the decentralized revolution, the way the world is changing. And you need to be on top of this, because if it's changing, you need to be changing too. We'll be back with a whole lot more in a minute. You don't want to miss it. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show. We're talking about, of course, each and every week, the decentralized revolution. But this week, I am in the studio with Nick Tartaglia, and we're talking about wealth, sovereignty, and living under the Canadian regime. We're talking about that for a minute. Now, Nick, going back to that for a minute. So you lived under that, like I said, from the U.S. looking up, I was like, dang, like both Canada and Australia, I'm like, man, why would you stay there? Why would you live under that when you don't have to? Why would anybody choose to live under that when they could go somewhere else, right? Now, I think you highlighted that part of that in that last question before we took the break. So I want to dig into that a little bit. So while that happened, you were locked down. You couldn't even leave your house. You chose to work on your writing, your intellect, and building up that, some relationships, podcasting. I want to come back to that. But basically, the point was is that you weren't really able to leave that environment and go to a different environment because you didn't have the resources to do that. So without wealth, without money, without the ability to spend or use your money, you don't actually have any freedom. Yeah, like I was saying before we went on the break, you know, I look at like freedom, and like freedom is freedom from both in any type of circumstance that would prevent you from making a decision that you want to make. And so obviously a person, mm-hmm. so you can have tyranny of government, right? A person could prevent you from doing something that you want. But also just your own yeah. circumstance. It could be tyranny of health, right? Your health doesn't allow you to do that. It could, which is why we say health is wealth. It could also be tyranny of your own yeah. wealth, meaning or lack thereof, right? So I don't have the money to travel. I don't have the money to move. I don't have the money to buy a passport. I don't have the money to do whatever, right? So is that some of, I mean, did I frame that yeah, up? Is that exactly. kind of how you look at that?
Because, you know, like as a human being who believes to be, wants to believe in the idea of sovereignty as an individual. The thing is, a lot of governments or a lot of states or a lot of people, they always talk about the sovereignty of a nation, but the sovereignty of a nation as a whole just means that those who are at the center, the central authority who dictates or controls that ecosystem or that society, it has its own sovereignty to do what it wants. That's not how I perceive sovereignty. It's not at a collective level sovereignty. It's at an individual level. So the way I see it is that I do not want to dictate my life based on man-made laws. I want to dictate my life based on natural laws and natural circumstances that I need to mitigate and circumvent. In order to do that, I need to understand the parameters and the dynamics that allow me to thrive in this reality. And regardless of which ecosystem I am born or raised in or live in, I must understand it in order to thrive in it. And if I cannot thrive in it, then I must change my circumstances. In order to do that, I must understand how to do so. And that's where the intellectual process comes in. You have to understand the world around you, or else there's no development.
To that point that you're talking about, I just put on Twitter earlier today, an hour or two ago. If you're not following me on Twitter, you should, just @onemarkmoss. But I put a quote from Ronald Reagan's 1981 inaugural address. So he was, this was January of 81. He was being brought in as president of the United States. And he said something that's used a lot. I was looking up this quote, which is government's not the solution, government's the mm-hmm. problem. But I was trying to find what's the context that he's saying that under. So I went and looked up the whole speech and I read it and I clipped some stuff out of there. But he was talking about inflation at the time. And he was saying inflation is not fixed by the government. It's caused by the government. But what he said is from time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule and that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. So kind of exactly. to your point, we're not sovereign individuals. The government's sovereign to do what exactly. they want. We're not sovereign. And so he was addressing that in this address here in 1981. We've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by individuals.
Exactly. It's too complex. He said, we don't need to learn. We don't need to understand. Delegate that task to somebody else and your sovereignty will be protected because you have a sovereign nation of a central authority who knows best.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, but if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone exactly. else?
Get your own bed in order.
And it's just like, boom. Yes, exactly. Like, none of us are smart enough to do this on our own. So then you're smart enough
exactly.
to do it for us.
We forget that the central authorities, they're also human beings. They are no different than any one of us. The only thing is we seem to assume that the moment they enter this that social entity, which is the government, which is no different than any other social entity, that automatically it assumes the responsibility to know best and to do what's best. And that regardless of what it does, it holds no accountability. And that it is the only thing that bestows upon us the reality of the economy, which again is a fallacy, since the economy is here regardless of whether the state exists or not. It is a natural reality given to us. Therefore, it is up to you to ensure your own outcome. And that's where the sovereignty comes in.
So now let's go back to what you said. You know, you were in lockdown. You couldn't leave, unfortunately. So you decided to pour into your own self yes. and to build up your own toolkit, right? Your own skill set. Why did you choose that? Like, why is that?
Why?
Your focus?
Because I always enjoyed going out and talking to people and being around people and having conversations and just, you know, being outside and doing stuff, I didn't like sitting down and doing nothing. And the moment I was put in that environment, I felt as if I was going to be very unproductive and it was going to waste a lot of my time. And again, if you go back to the classical principles of a lot of Austrians and classical economists, a lot of things like there's nothing more permanent than temporary government programs. And, you know, whenever the government takes control, it has a hard time letting go. So in my mind, when all this was going down, I was like, I don't think this is going to last 2 weeks, as they said. I don't think it's going to last a couple of months. I think this is going to be something that's going to be reoccurring for a long period of time. And so that was bothering me heavily, mentally and intellectually. So I said, I needed to find a way to put my energy into something else that I never did before. And the only thing I could think of was starting to write. So I started writing blogs for my podcast, and that turned into writing one book on system dynamics and trying to understand the world I was in and trying to understand the problems heading our way as a millennial who's looking ahead. And then after I decided to write another book, after going down kind of like an Austrian rabbit hole, an economic rabbit hole on economics, to kind of continue the work of those guys, of the Austrians and everything. And I thought it was the only solution, because I didn't want to feel unproductive just watching TV for 2 years doing nothing. I thought it was going to be the biggest waste of my life. So I wanted to be something. I wanted to be proud of myself regardless of the situation I was in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely about being productive to me from the outside looking in. That's why I was asking the question. Is it's like what you also did, though, is you increased your knowledge, which also increased your skills or your skill set. And the more skills you have, the more knowledge you have, potentially the more sovereign you can be, because now you have tools and skills that could allow you to make income remotely or locked down or something like that, as opposed to you didn't have those skills before. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show, talking about the decentralized revolution and how to become more sovereign with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about how to deal with tyranny, how to become more sovereign. We got a whole lot more to cover when we come back. Don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution each and every week, of course. And I'm in the studio with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about dealing with tyranny and becoming more sovereign. So, yeah, you increased your skills, you increased your knowledge, and now you have more knowledge and you have more skills to go create money, whether that be podcasting or writing, writing books, writing blogs. I mean, there's so many things that you could do with that, which I think is super important. And it's one thing that I see, you know, so many people, they take this victim mentality where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. what can I do? The state's just going to do whatever they want with me, have their way with me. And I'm just in my house and I can't do anything. So I might as well just eat Cheetos and mm-hmm. watch Netflix or something.
Exactly.
Right? I don't know if you have that in Canada.
No, I mean, during Canada here, we were locking down gyms, but here, ironically, because I live in Quebec. So I'm going to contextualize specifically my province. So the place that I live in, the state controls the liquor stores, controls the marijuana stores, controls the gambling, but they locked down the gyms and they left everything else open. So you had a rise in alcohol consumption, rise in drug consumption, rise in gambling. You had all those, all while people were isolated. And by default, humans are social animals. They're not isolated animals that live alone. They thrive in social environments. So we restricted our natural mechanics as human beings, and we fed ourselves all kinds of stimulants and distractions, all while believing it was the natural given right of the state to do this.
So I think we've been on this trend for a long time, and I think we're starting to see most people, or a lot of people anyway, are starting to see how dangerous these ideas are when we give the state this much power. I guess a two-part question, kind of one, do you see like maybe in Canada, maybe in some of the harsher areas of Canada, was this like maybe a waking up moment for a lot of people?
So if the way I see it is, I think, well, one, Alberta is one example where I think they've kind of woken up, because you have the new premier there. Her name is Danielle, and she's been a real go-getter who's been getting a lot of attention and fighting back against what the Liberal government's been doing at a federal level. And then even for myself here, I've noticed a lot of people have started to regret their submission to these forces and starting to question why it is that their life is so void of dignity whenever the government tells them what to do. And there's a lot of more curiosity, people willing to have a conversation. Before, people were afraid to have those conversations, but it's become more open. Well, I mean, to a certain extent, again, because you have a lot of, like Montreal, for example, where I'm from, there's a lot of liberals, or if you go to the schooling system, they've been shut down left and right because of protests and for liberal progressive purposes. But there is a force that's starting to understand and wake up that this is not normal, and that if this cycle continues, that their future in this country is very hard to imagine, like it is for myself. It's very hard to imagine it here. So I'm trying to find a way to get out.
So, I mean, you think get out and save yourself rather than stay and fight?
Yeah, you see, I would love that idea. But then the way I see it is, there's a point of no return at a certain point. That's how one. Two, I also believe that Canada is very susceptible in terms of the way it behaves based on America. So if America doesn't shift, I think Canada is permanently finished, because Canada is heavily dependent on what America does. So if the left or the progressive narrative dominates and continues to hold force, Canada and its governments have plenty of power to do so, because there's no counterforce to it. We're like the little brother, the little sister to America. That's how I see it. So unless we have someone to show us the way out, I think Canada is too docile to find its own way out. I want to be somebody to help and fight, but I also have to take care of myself and those around me. So there is a point where I say where we reached a point of no return, and that I will try to do what I can elsewhere while trying to help, because I don't want to be...
But how much further can Canada take it? I mean, Canada's got no money. Yeah. They got no gold. I mean, they're broke. Yeah,
they are.
I mean, their institutions are caving in. Like, I mean, how much further can they
go? I mean, people still believe in the delusion. They just took away gun rights. Well, the ability to purchase guns, and people thought it, like, everything they're doing, people find a reason to agree or to just say this is what it's part being of a society. Like the
What does that mean? Did they take away the ability to buy, sell guns,
transfer guns,
but not own them? So if you already own them, you
for
keep
now,
what you have,
exactly.
But you just can't sell them.
Exactly.
No
for now,
them.
you can still own if you've purchased them.
Is it all guns or just handguns or just
right now it's only
guns?
Handguns that they were going down for, but now they're trying to get into hunting guns. But that was just, they backed out on that one because the conservatives were being a little aggressive on them. They just backed down, I think, about a week or two ago, but they have the momentum. because they keep doing what they want. And even the conservative side, like from, I just don't like politicians in general or the politics, because I find it's a lot of wasted time and inefficient game. They're not actually solving any economic problems. They're just trying to be the hero to any special interest group. So, you know, it's hard to see Canada coming out of this positively, since, you know, like you said, we have no gold. We have, are we running on debt? Trudeau in his entire term has incurred more debt on behalf of Canada, more than all the combined premiers in Canadian history. So, you know, it's just a downward effect of that's expanding exponentially.
Now, one of the things that you like to study and talk about is free markets. And comparing free markets to socialism and communism, things like that. Why do you think a free market is favorable or better than a socialist or a communist?
Well, one, I think that it is by natural law the only environment by which sovereignty could be honored, whereby individual consciousness can evolve and grow, whereby individuals can feel dignity and purpose, whereby we can make meaning to our own lives without having to feel confined or caged or feel safe and become a meaningless variable in the time of history. So free markets to me is merely a reflection of human behavior, or if I look at any kind of economic system, it's merely a reflection of individual behaviors. Socialism is like a paternal relationship. It's all about your safety, doing what's well for you, but there is no room to grow as an individual in that space. Free market is the only place whereby trial and error makes sense, where boom and bust cycles can lead to growth and innovation, where you can mitigate past errors because you understand them and you can learn from them. If you are in an environment where there's constant delegation of responsibility, delegation of learning, delegation of actions that need to be taken to a central authority, the market itself of individuals, which is where you create prosperity as a collective, cannot grow, cannot evolve, cannot innovate, and cannot build its way out of it, and cannot do it in a way that's sustainable for each generation after itself.
So if the free market, which I would agree, is so much of a better system than socialism or communism, can it outcompete it?
I believe it can if it is given the space to compete. But the thing is, there's so many forces, primal forces that are against this. You have the educational system that's against it. You have the tech industry that's against it. You have the government that's against it. You have military and police organizations that are against it. So it starts, I mean, given in the free market system, it's about empowering the individual. So it can compete with it if the individual or enough individuals are empowered to understand that if they themselves do not stand up and fight back, there won't be no free market for them to thrive in or to produce their own outcome.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We talk about the decentralized revolution each and every week. I'm in the studio with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about sovereignty. We're talking about wealth. Now we're getting into free markets versus socialism and communism. And we'll come back out on the other side. We got a lot more to cover in this last segment. You don't want to miss it. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back talking about communism, socialism, free markets, and if they can win. I tend to think they can. So we'll find out. We'll be back with all that and more in a minute. Don't go away. I'm going to be right back.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm in the studio with Nick Tartaglia. We're talking about sovereignty and wealth and Canada and tyranny and free markets and so much more. And I was asking the question about if you think free markets could outcompete a command economy, socialism, communism, et cetera. And you said that you know only if it's given a chance to compete, because otherwise with politics, they can just crowd it out. And that seems to be what big government, big businesses are doing. But the problem is that those models they're built off of don't work. So don't we just naturally outcompete them because they just crash on their own?
Yes, I agree. But then I also have to, so then what I would do is I also would overlap the whole, so there's a saying that says, you know, strong men create good times create weak men, soft men create hard times. And then the question becomes, at which period of that economic cycle are we at in relation to which weighted behaviors are dominant in the ecosystem? So the state can thrive because of the fact that a lot of people are ignorant. So like when I heard you talking back in the RIC conference, you were talking about the parallel economy where people can find ways to compete by the same kind of products by providing a different set of values and conditions to the market, adding value in a different way. Well, that is elevating their consciousness, understanding that they can compete, but they have to take it in their own hands. So when I say it has to be given, we need the opportunity to compete, by that I mean simply solving the issue of ignorance. People need to be aware that it's up to them to make this happen. And if they want to delegate, like if they say, well, I want to be free, I want sovereignty, I want wealth, but I'm not going to do it myself, or I need someone else to do it first. Well, then
I want to do it myself, but I don't
exactly,
want to do it myself.
You know, so that's the point is we all want it, but nobody seems to want to do it. So for me, it's a matter of aligning the actions with the intent. And there's a gap there. And that ignorance is where the state dominates, because if we're ignorant and we don't do it ourselves, then the state can keep pushing down on us.
Yeah. Well, and the state controls all the education.
Exactly.
So they have the upper hand. Yeah. You know, it's interesting where, to your point, I think most people just don't want the responsibility that comes with it. And if you look at, there was a Dr. Desmond Mateus, he did the work on the mass formation psychosis. And he talked about how in this mass formation psychosis, where the masses basically go along with this whole thing, he talks about how there's 30% of the people at the top that are just going to go along with that. And there's 30% of the people at the bottom that are always going to resist that. And there's the 40% in the middle. And like, that's what's up for grabs kind of a thing, right? Like, which side do they get influenced by? And I think maybe not the exact same numbers, but similar in life, we can see that the masses don't know what they want. The masses don't even care, and the masses are not willing to put out any effort to learn or to improve. And so really the world is being driven by the edges. And we can see that, right? I mean, I see in Canada, you guys are doing like a legal suicide. Oh,
yes.
Now, right?
So they're whatever, supporting right? That for the for veterans, because I guess the way they argue is it's easier to just give them an easy way out than actually care and provide the real value. But the thing is, when has government ever been an efficient entity to solve any kind of socioeconomic problem? It never really has. But yet, as a culture, we delegate those tasks to it. So they end up finding easier ways to just solve those problems. You know what? We can't seem to do anything. People are begging for it, so we'll just give it to them.
Now they're talking about lowering it down to kids as young as 12, I think, and then doing it like with no like parental approval. And I think about that, and we have plenty of other stupid and sick policies here in the United States as well, transitioning kids without parent approval, et cetera. And I just think like, what percentage of the people want that? Like, come on, really? Like, what percentage of the population really wants to see men go compete in women's sports? Like nobody really wants that, right? It's being driven by the edges.
Exactly. But people right? are afraid.
And so while that's on one side is discouraging, it's also encouraging. We don't need the masses.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
So one of the United States founding fathers said, Samuel Adams, it doesn't take a majority to prevail, rather a small, irate minority. Exactly. And so we see, you know, things in the grocery store, the kosher and the gluten-free and the organic. It wasn't everybody that wanted those things. It was a small group. So we don't have to convince the world, right? We just have to get a small group of people. Is that kind of how you see it?
The thing is, if you give the right circumstances and conditions to certain people, or you give them the space to do what they need, or you evolve their ability to understand the realm they're in, you can empower them in a way that will make them understand why they need to set forth actions that ripple throughout the ecosystem, positive energy from an economic standpoint, that changes the path on which we're on. Because if you don't, because at the end of the day, if you empower the individual, by default, you end up empowering everybody else. Because you know, it's like a team. You are as weak as your weakest link. If you empower the weakest person in your society to be independent, to thrive on it, or figure out a way to thrive on their own, then they will be a force to reckon with. And then you feel that energy. You can feel that desire to thrive and to be purposeful. They become more like a lion rather than a sheep. And then everybody else around you gets that same energy and that vibe. Okay, I need to be like that too.
Yeah. Do you think it's something though where like most people are just going to continue in the path that they're on until the pain gets high enough that they're forced to change? Like I use the example all the time. Like I grew up going to chiropractors. I believe in chiropractic. I believe that our spine should be in alignment. I believe all those things, but like I don't really go unless I'm in a lot of pain. And the pain has to be high enough to be to clear out some of my schedule. Otherwise, I'm too busy. Kind
yeah,
of thing,
I get what
right?
you mean.
Like, or drug addicts, right? Like they don't want to go to rehab until they hit rock bottom, which is usually a more of a rock bottom than most of us would put up with. So, like, you think that's the case for most?
Yeah,
people?
Yeah, I do. I do. A lot of people are too safe or secure, or they're too stuck in a routine, or they're too afraid to respond. I know there's a saying, I forget who it's by, one of the greatest fear of mankind is responsibility or self-responsibility. To be responsible is a scary thing because it says that if something goes wrong or you fail or whatever, it is on you. It is not on anybody else. It is because of you. But the thing is, through failure, you learn. And through the learning process, you build your consciousness. The thing is, we thrive in an environment where people are fueled or empowered because people are weak. So your weakness empowers me to tell you what to do. So I think that is a part of it. It's sad.
What now, but kind of like we were saying, we don't need the masses. We don't need the majority. We just need the small irate minority. So you're in a younger generation. How do you see the younger generation responding to this? Do you think we'll get enough of the minority to get irate about this and push back on the edges? Do you feel positive about that?
I'm in the middle of this because I haven't been able to contextualize the force of it yet, in the sense that it depends on whether you're looking at a province, whether you're in Canada or the state, United States, how much force they push back. Because the way I see it is, like in game theory, you have different pieces on the board. And now the question becomes, which entity or which collective entity of individuals is able to enforce or push back or mitigate its primal threats? Now, the collective hysteria of, you know, of the left or progressive or of those that like to obey the state or the politicians, they are the dominant force. But the thing is, the opposing force is too afraid to speak up, or too afraid of the backlash, or too afraid to speak their mind. So they do not create a counterforce to the other side. And the other side is very emotionally, intellectually weak. They just have the crowd. But the thing is, the moment you have a select few of individuals who are strong enough to oppose them or push back or make them understand that they are a primal force, there's something to come of it. But the younger generations, we're not leaders. At least I don't see them as leaders yet, because of the fact that we're born in this environment that's very privileged, especially from a Western perspective. We're very privileged with what we have, but we also like to complain about everything, even though we're extremely privileged. I don't think it's in us to do it because we don't have role models anymore, or at least there are some, but we just don't know where to find them. So I think there's that kind of gap in the marketplace to see that shift occur.
We'll take that as a challenge, yes, exactly. Everybody. We got to wrap this up. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. I've been in the studio with Nick Tartaglia talking about the decentralized revolution and how we can push back on this. You can find him on Instagram at Nick Tartaglia. We'll link it in the show notes below. That's what we got today. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.